Chapter 29. 1810 hours. November 3rd, 2552, military calendar. Zeta Dorada system, planet Onyx, near restricted region zone 67. Kurt had seen snipers zero their instruments before, but never for an extreme range near vertical target. Linda took the task as seriously as a surgeon preparing for a heart transplant. She cleared a patch of rocky ground and laid out a camo mat so dust wouldn't foul her SRS-99C S2 AM rifle. Next, she opened a kit that contained tools, bottles of cleaner and lubricant, several magazines for her rifle, a box of 14.5x114mm ammunition, and a tiny data pad. She selected one of the magazines and inspected it. Satisfied, she opened the box of ammo and removed one of the rounds. Super-hardened red polymer petals surrounded a finned tungsten dart. She spun it around and looked at the cartridge base. Opposite the Legend 51, it bore the winged hourglass head stamp, flanked by double X's, signifying that it was hand-loaded match-grade ammo from Misra armories on Mars. She slid the magazine into the rifle. Next, she linked her Oracle scope to the data pad and made micro-calibrations. She finally sat, butted the rifle to her shoulder, and then leaned back flat and sighted up at the sky.
"Ready,"
she said over single-beam comm. Her voice was detached and trance-like. "Eyes sharp," Kurt told everyone. The Spartans had moved from the rendezvous hollow to the high ground among broken canyons and mesa, where Team Saber had first encountered the Sentinels. Kurt had them spread out along both sides of the valley. Kelly stood in a gravel wash in the center of the valley and scanned the horizon, waiting for the double sentinel to spot her. The sun was high, and her shadow was a wavering spot at her feet. For someone who was bait, she looked perfectly at ease. The tunnel, where Dante had rigged the opening and exit with charges, was a quarter kilometer away from her position, just far enough. The tricky part of this plan would be to get the sentinel pair into the tunnel, instead of staying high and blasting Kelly while she was inside. Would they continue their game of cat and mouse, or was the data collection phase of their operation over? Either way, Kurt had placed his friend in grave danger. Kelly looked up to Kurt's position and activated her single beam.
"I see it," she said, "two clicks away. I'm going to tap its shoulder."
"Go, Blue Two," he said. "Keep your head." Kurt held up a hand, made a fist, and pumped it twice, the get-ready signal for the rest of the team. Kelly took a shot at the drone pair with her MAB-5, an impossible target with an assault rifle, but it wasn't meant to hit, just to get the thing's attention. The sentinel turned to the report of gunfire and accelerated toward her. Will reported over single beam.
"Overwatch spotted, 11 o'clock. Elevation, 2,400 meters. Wind is 3 knots from the northwest."
Kurt relayed this to Linda. Her status light wavered amber as she made a slight adjustment in her position, angling her rifle up and then frozen. On either side, Tom and Lucy hefted missile launchers, waiting for her order to fire. Meanwhile, the combined sentinel pair plunged toward Kelly. She stood there watching it. Holly moved close to Kurt, her assault rifle uselessly aimed at the incoming drone.
"Is she fast enough?"
"Kelly's the fastest Spartan," Kurt whispered. That didn't answer her question, though. Was she fast enough? Kurt didn't know. The sentinel pair was half a kilometer away. One of the spheres heated, and light flashed. Kelly took 3 sidesteps as the ground where she'd been standing vaporized. Globules of molten rock spattered off her Mjolnir armor's energy shield. She made an ancient and arcane gesture at the machine with one finger. Mark joined Holly and Kurt.
"No way," he breathed.
Kelly turned and ran, leaving a plume of dust in her wake. The diving sentinels accelerated to 200 kilometers an hour. A golden lance flashed from its center of mass, detonating the earth under her feet. Kelly tucked into a ball, tumbled, and came up running without breaking stride. She sprinted straight into the tunnel.
The Sentinel's hexagonal geometry fluttered along its drive trajectory. A mere 5 meters over the gravel wash and screaming toward the tunnel, it had no time to pull up. It chased her down the hole. Kelly appeared silhouetted at the mouth, golden illumination blazing behind her, and the tunnel exploded. Cones of fire shot out both ends. The superheated overpressure wave blurred the image of Kelly as she was propelled through the air, end over end. The hill collapsed, and 100 tons of earth crushed the Sentinel pair. Sand, stone, and dust blasted out in feathery jets. Kelly's body impacted a rock wall and fell limp to the gravel wash. Kurt signaled Team Saber to get down there and help. He wanted to rush to her side as well, but he had to stay here and ensure the long-shot part of their operation succeeded. Or, failing that, devise a retreat. Linda was still locked in place, tracking the Overwatch Sentinel. Tom and Lucy knelt on either side, missiles ready. Kurt squinted along the angle of their aim. Hanging in the air, over 2 kilometers away, was a single dot. Their target. They had to get it, or the Sentinel would report their position and send for reinforcements, which wouldn't fall for this trick again. "Target off-center. Starboard boom," Linda whispered to Lucy and Tom. "Forward point." They adjusted their aims.
"Locked on target," Tom replied.
"Fire," Linda said softly. Twin plumes of exhaust washed over them as the missiles screamed into the air. The Overwatch Sentinel turned toward the incoming projectiles, and its energy shield shimmered golden. Linda's rifle muzzle flashed. Without seeming to move a molecule, she fired until the magazine was empty. The missiles impacted. Smoke and flames ballooned about the Sentinel. A heartbeat later, the winds blew the discharge cloud aside. The Sentinel jerked and plummeted. Linda got to her feet. The Sentinel scattered as it fell, center sphere and 3 booms spinning out of control until they impacted.
"Go," he told them. "Make sure it's down."
Kurt didn't waste another second on the Sentinel. He turned back to the ravine and ran toward Kelly. He scanned Kelly's biosigns: erratic heartbeat, falling blood pressure, low body temperature. She was in borderline shock. Kurt skidded to a halt in the ravine as Ash and Holly propped her up.
"I'm sorry, sir," Ash said. "The Sentinels were 3 meters from the exit. If I'd waited any longer, it would have cleared the trap. It would have shot her. I couldn't take that chance."
Kelly shook her head, not to disagree, rather to clear her senses. Her biosigns perked.
"He's right," she whispered and coughed. "The kid did good."
She gave Ash the thumbs-up signal. Ash bowed his head. Kurt breathed a sigh of relief that Kelly had survived. He'd risked her life to gain a slim advantage over the enemy. He now had to use it wisely.
"What's next?" Fred asked.
Kurt told them, "Now we have an opportunity. If that Overwatch Sentinel didn't get a fix in our position, we'll have some room to maneuver and take the initiative."
"Maneuver where?" Holly asked.
"Zone 67, Kurt said.
"It's the center of everything. If there's any technology to be recovered, other than broken Sentinel parts, it's going to be there."
"Patrols get denser the farther north we've gone, sir," Dante noted.
"It'll be dusk soon," Kurt said. "Enough time to circle back to Blue Team's dropship. The sun will be setting and we'll fly it in low. Get some camouflage from the long shadows. The rocks in these canyons have been baking all day. And we'll have thermal cover, too." Kurt surveyed his team. "Unless there's a better idea." His gaze fell on Dr. Halsey as she and Chief Mendez made their way down the valley slope. She stared at him as if she could see through his mirrored faceplate. "Okay, stay sharp. Olivia, Will, Linda, scout ahead. No comm chatter. Let's get this done." Dr. Halsey watched Kurt give detailed instructions to the Spartans. She didn't care what his orders were, so much as how he was saying them and the effect it had on them. He spoke with confidence, but there was also warmth and pride in his voice. She'd never heard any Spartan so demonstrative. Certainly Kelly would crack the rare joke, but that was just a layer of emotional armor. Kurt was different. The Spartans, young and old, responded to him. There was the usual Spartan stoicism and no questions asked, but there were also nods, slight tilts of their heads, the involuntary indication of rapt attention. Kurt was their leader now. That fact might serve her well in the upcoming crisis. Of course, he was hiding something about his Spartan threes. If the mute, psychologically damaged Lucy was any indication of what the secret was, Dr. Halsey could only guess at its horrors. But as the end neared, she would have no choice but to trust Kurt. She would have to trust them all to forgive the lies she'd told about the treasure trove of Forerunner technologies.